Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. Welcome back. I'm Katie Weaver. On the show today, concerns and disputes about dam building projects in Asia. A major environmental group is worried about possible harm from a dam planned in Laos on the Mekong River. The dam would provide electricity for Laos and neighboring Cambodia. The Worldwide Fund for Nature says it is not against the dam completely. It wants to find a better location for it. But first, we discuss a dam dispute between China and Burma. The two countries had agreed to the project, but now Burma is resisting the plan. China has the most dams in the world. However, one Chinese plan to build a dam on the Mekong River has fueled debate. In 2011, the government in Burma, also known as Myanmar, halted the two countries' joint Mitsone Dam project after protests at home. Some observers think more openness from China can help ease disputes about the project. China is famous for building the world's largest hydroelectric dam, the Three Gorges Dam. China also has the largest number of dams in the world. And Chinese businesses are a top builder of dams in other countries. The group International Rivers has studied Chinese dam projects. It found that Chinese banks and companies have helped build hundreds of dams in many countries, mainly in Africa and Southeast Asia. Richard Cronin is director of the Southeast Asia Program at the Stimson Center, a nonprofit public policy group. He is an expert in hydroelectric dams on the Mekong River, which flows through several countries.
Chinese companies are involved in four, possibly five, of the main of the 11 mainstream dams, as well as lots of dams in the on tributaries. So China's role is a big factor in all infrastructure development, particularly in Laos and Cambodia, but it's a particularly big factor in the development of these dams.
However, critics are increasingly condemning the methods being used to build the dams. They say the projects cause environmental and social harm. And China's plan to build a dam on the Mekong has led to more criticism. Darren McGee is an associate professor of environmental studies at Hobart and William Smith College in New York State.
I think one reason for the controversy is lack of clear data, a clear understanding how much these dams are going to impact flows downstream, flows of water and flows of silt, basically.
The Stimson Center's Richard Cronin says China does not release information about the rivers it dams and the affected environment. Chinese officials consider the information a state secret. Mr. Cronin says Chinese government departments also lack cooperation and communication. He says each dam is an independent project. The best-known dam project in Southeast Asia is the Mitsone Dam on the Irrawaddy River. The $3.6 billion dam is a joint project among the China Power Investment Corporation, Burma's Ministry of Electric Power, and a private company. But Burmese President Thein Sein suspended work on the dam in 2011 after protests in his country. Soon Yoon is a researcher at the Stimson Center. She says the Mitsone Dam project is a good example of Chinese policymaking by individuals who have different interests.
China's central government, which is Beijing, local government, Yunnan province, and the business interest, say China Power Investment, they prioritize different things.
She says China's government hoped to keep good relations with Burma. The Yunnan provincial government wanted to use the project to become an energy center for southwestern China. And the China Power and Investment Corporation looked to the dam as a way to make profits. Environmentalists are concerned about another plan to build a hydroelectric dam in Laos, near the border with Cambodia. A wildlife protection group recently released a report about the dam project. Bob Doty has more in this report from VOA's Steve Herman in Bangkok.
The Worldwide Fund for Nature sharply criticized a study on the proposed Don Sahong Dam and its effects on the environment. The group called the study a recipe for disaster. The Environmental Impact Assessment Report was released in January. It found that the dam in Laos would have no major effect on the environment. The Worldwide Fund for Nature disputes that finding. The dam would provide most of its 260 megawatts of electricity to neighboring countries, Thailand and Cambodia. A Malaysian company plans to build the major hydroelectric dam. The Worldwide Fund for Nature questioned the company's claim that the project will have no major effect on the environment. The group said the claim is not based on scientific evidence. It also urged the developer to examine how the dam would affect societies and economies across borders. Plans for the project include a passageway through the dam for fish that swim up and down the Mekong River. Fish are an important food source for people living along the river. Mark Goisho of the WWF has been studying the project. He says the proposed passage system is unproven and risky.
If you block this process, then the species will disappear. And the place where the project is planned is a very specific channel in this multi-channel section of the river that is the only one that is easy to pass for fish.
Mark Goisho says the WWF is not seeking to prevent the dam from being built. Instead, he says, the group is concerned about the area where the dam is being built. He says there are other choices.
We believe there are many places that are far less risky. So if you would develop those hydropower projects at the right sites, then it would be much easier to mitigate the impacts. And for the same hydropower production, you would have far less risk on your natural resources and on your environment.
The Don Sahong Dam project is one of 11 planned dams on the lower part of the Mekong River, which runs for 4,300 kilometers through Southeast Asia. I'm Bob Doty.
And that's As It Is for today. I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for joining us.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. Billboards, signs, and posters continue to be an important way for business owners to advertise their goods and services. But some of these signs are not stuck in the grass or hung up on a wall. Instead, they are in constant motion, thanks to workers known as sign spinners. People spin signs of all shapes and sizes in all directions to attract the attention of walkers and drivers alike. Horacio Moreno has been spinning signs for 5 years.
There's a lot of money to be made in advertising, period.
The income is not the only reason he loves his job.
I have the most fun doing what I'm doing. Like, I don't have to worry about having a boss yelling at me, like, telling me to do my job better.
Horacio Moreno works for Aero Advertising. Michael Patterson opened the company's Washington office in 2001.
Here we are 12 years later in, 11 countries and 49 cities. We've hired thousands of sign spinners in the last 7 to 8 years. We've advertised for every industry you can think of. Our bread and butter is primarily the real estate industry.
Vincent Stanton manages an apartment building in Arlington, Virginia. He hired Aero Advertising spinners over a year ago.
What we do is basically leasing, and with the signs spinners, that help generate traffic for us.
To attract attention and traffic, sign spinners need to get noticed. That requires that they learn a few tricks, as well as the basics of how to spin a sign. Some spin signs on their fingertips while jumping and dancing. Some throw the signs high up in the air, pass them between their legs, or twirl them around their bodies. Aero Advertising offers classes to help high school students in the area master those skills.
You know how you do a helicopter? It's the same thing.
Most of the students are young men, but not all.
Sometimes they're like, no, the girl can't spin, but then I show them and then they're amazed.
Estefany Amaya has been training for several months.
My cousins and my brothers, they started doing it around me. So I was interested in it, and I wanted to learn. During the summer, I'll be working on weekdays and weekends.
Sign spinning is not as easy as it looks, and there are rules for effective sign spinning.
If we do it too fast, no one can read the message. So our guys are actually trained to pause the sign at certain points to make sure the passing by cars can read the message. We're not stale advertising. We're always brand new advertising every time you see us, no matter who we're advertising for.
Michael Patterson says, being energetic and creative is the secret behind sign spinning as a growing movement in advertising. Student Christian Palomino agrees.
What's worth doing it, the adrenaline and, just catching it, it's just amazing, it's beautiful.
And that's the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. For more of our reports, visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. On the show today, we play some music to go with the current climate in most of the United States. We also tell about how children in Los Angeles, California, can have fun in the snow. But first, we look at how hospice care is helping some people in Virginia fully live their final days. When people hear the word hospice, they usually link it to death and dying. But, as Marcia James tells us, hospice is more about providing care, comfort, and support to patients during their final days of life.
Faye and Wayne Payne lived a rich and interesting life before settling down in rural Virginia. But their peaceful existence was crushed when they learned that Faye had lung cancer. The 70-year-old retired secretary went through a series of aggressive medical treatments that left her weak and underweight.
I did the radiation and I did the chemo, and after I had the last scan done, they realized I had more cancer coming up here. And I said, no more.
Faye decided to seek hospice care after talking about the future with her family and doctors.
How often is Barbara here?
Barbara's here on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Social worker Robin Johnson is part of the hospice team that visits Faye in her home.
The nurse is looking at all the medical things, and the social worker is looking at the psychosocial, spiritual things, which of course can encompass a lot.
Faye Payne explains the value of her hospice care.
They helped me realize that, yes, death is coming, and they've helped me get ready. I now have everything lined up and ready to go.
Hospice care helps family members too, like Faye's husband.
They come along and they take her blood pressure and check her here and get her medication, and it's made life a whole lot easier for both of us.
Melissa Mills is Assistant Director of Patient Services at Hospice of the Rapidan. The organization serves terminally ill patients in several counties in the state of Virginia.
We're all here for the same mission, and that's to help our patients die with compassion and dignity.
74-year-old Jim Sykes learned that he had head and neck cancer 2 years ago. He has been receiving hospice care at home for 7 months.
I would advise anybody that needs help like this, extra support, that hospice is what they need.
Lisa Stone is Jim's social worker.
So a lot of my visits are providing a lot of supportive listening. Jim has his black book of photos, so we do what I like to call photo therapy.
Eric Lindner has been a hospice volunteer since 2009 and has written about his experiences. He believes hospice provides a support system that is largely missing in American culture.
I've traveled a fair bit, China, Africa, other places, and the elders are embraced and taken into the family. And this country, just the way it's developed, maybe that's the role that hospice has tried to fill a little bit.
That support has helped patients like Faye Payne enjoy her quality of life today. And she says when the time comes for her to leave this earth, she is ready.
I was born July 16th in 1942, but my dad was working on the railroad, and he died April 16th, 1942. So I want to get to see my dad one day. That's the main thing, and I'm not afraid.
past 2 weeks have included sharp cold and snowstorms across much of the United States. These are not unusual conditions for winter in parts of North America. But snow is almost unknown in other areas, like Pasadena in Southern California. Mario Ritter tells us about some children there who are getting direct contact with the soft white flakes.
It is a strange white substance, and it's cold. Many Pasadena children are having their first experience with snow and a chance to make a snowman with their parents. Rong Liu says snow is releasing her daughter's creativity.
She said, "This is my first snowman. I'm excited."
As a child, Rong Liu experienced snow in her native China. But it is a completely new weather event for her daughter, a Californian. The Kids Space Children's Museum in Pasadena is holding 5 snow days. Boys and girls can listen to stories related to snow. They are able to play an ice fishing game and carry out experiments with dry ice. They can also hear an explanation of the science of snow. The snow arrives each day, just before the museum opens its doors. Then the families come. Those who have been here before bring warm gloves and sweaters. Julianne Sando is with the Kidspace Children's Museum. She says the children can create imaginary worlds in the snow, like kids do in northern climates.
They learn how to make a snowball. They maybe throw a snowball for the first time. They realize how slippery and cold snow is. So it's just a lot of exploration and interaction with snow.
That's something California kids rarely experience, which is just fine with parent Michael Sullivan.
It's fun to come and visit and play in the snow, but to live in it and drive in it every day like some people do, that's not what I'd like to do.
He says a few days of snow are more than enough for California.
Outside.
I've got to go away.
Maybe it's cold out there.
This evening has
been hoping that you
so
drop in.
Every night
I'll hold your hands, but just like I.
My mother will.
It has been a very cold couple of weeks in much of the United States. Lots of snow fell, and many streets and sidewalks were slippery with ice. Today, we are playing music in keeping with the weather.
I flew in on the evening plane. Is it such a good idea that I'm here again? And I could cut my cold breath with a knife. Taste the winter of another life. A yellow cap from JFK, the lonely route. I didn't mind, it gave me thinking time before I ran aground. On rocky memories and choking tears, I believe it only rained round here these 30 years. Now it's the first snow on Brooklyn, and my cold feet are drumming. You don't see me in the shadows from your cozy window frame.
That is the British band Jethro Tull performing First Snow on Brooklyn. Now how about a little Madonna to cool down? Frozen is a single from the singer's 1998 album, Ray of Light. The song is not actually about the cold. It is about an unfeeling, self-centered person. Madonna sings, "You only see what your eyes want to see,
How can life be what you want it to be? You're frozen when your heart's not open.
You only see what your eyes want to see. How can life be what you want it to be? You're frozen when your heart's not open. You're so consumed with how much you get. You waste your time with hate and regret. You're broken when your heart's not open.
Red Hot Chili Peppers probably does not make you think of winter, but the band's 2006 song, Snow, Hey-O, might. The song was number one on Billboard's Modern Rock chart for weeks. Lead singer Anthony Kiedis said that snow is about surviving and a new start, like a clean cover of newly fallen snow.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time. Step from the road to the sea to the sky, and I do believe that we rely on. When I lay it on, come get to play it on, all my life to sacrifice. Hey, yo, listen what I say, yo. I got your hey, yo, now listen what I say.
With Ed Sheeran. His song, The A-Team, tells a sad story of a woman who sells sex to pay for her need for the drug crack cocaine. Ed Sheeran received his first Grammy nomination for The A-Team. The song was a candidate for 2013 Song of the Year.
White lips, pale face, breathing in snowflakes, burnt lungs, sour taste. Lights gone, days end, struggling to pay rent. Long nights, strange men. And they say she's in the class 18, stuck in her daydream. Been this way since 18, but lately her face seems slowly sinking, wasting, crumbling like pastries. And they scream the worst things in life come free to us, 'cause we're just under the upper hand. I'm go mad for a couple grams, and she don't wanna go outside tonight. And in a pipe she flies to the motherland, or sells love to another man. It's too cold outside for angels to fly.
I'm June Sims. Our program was written by Katie Weaver, who was also the producer. Do you have a question about American life? Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. We might answer your question in a future show. Join us again next week for music and more from VOA Learning English.
They say she's in the class 18, stuck in her daydream. Been this way since 18, but lately her face seems slowly sinking, wasting, crumbling like pastries. And they scream the worst things in life come free to us, 'cause we're just under the upper hand.